I'm joined by Syrian activist Maj Arra, who's in the Meze district of West Damascus. Maj, you've seen Kerry's announcement of $60 million of aid to the Syrian opposition. What do you make of that?
Yeah, actually, I've heard about it. It seems a good move in terms of giving aid directly to the Syrian opposition or to the people in need, especially in the north of Syria. But to be honest, those aids will not help to change the equation inside Syria, because as we can see, the regime is willing to fight to the last man, and also using heavy artillery, using Scud missiles. So if the U.S. is really want to help to end the stalemate, it should really think about more effective solutions, just like to in terms of politics to be able to push Russia more into convincing Assad to leave, or in terms of military operations on the ground to support the Free Syrian Army or the rebel groups with at least some gears in terms of there was talks about armored vehicles, night vision goggles or something like that. At least those gadgets could help to make the FSA convince Assad that he no longer can stay in power here in Syria.
So was Moaz al-Khatib wrong to go to Rome to meet Kerry?
I don't think so. I do believe that Khatib made a good move. He initially refused to go to Rome just to see if the U.S. is willing to give more to the Syrians. And when he heard something from the U.S., rethinks his move and decided to go to Rome. So it's not wrong in terms of engaging in political negotiations. It's not wrong in terms of having a good political front trying to have gains in terms of diplomacy. But at the same time, unfortunately, the situation in the ground is not shifting. There's some kind of stalemate, some kind of complete continuous destruction and killing. So we can see that the government is unable to stop the FSA from getting into the city, for example, if we are talking about Damascus. And at the same time, FSA is not able to move swiftly into to the city and take it.
What did you make of Khatib's speech?
Yeah, actually, I did hear something about he was buying some points regarding negotiation with the government should be based on Assad leave. He was talking also about the continuous talks now in the diplomacy about those fighting in Syria are actually Islamist, and so they may be terrorists that will be targeting the West or Israel after all. But Khatib was stating the obvious for many Syrians, that many Syrians don't, that Syrians are not concerned about those Islamists or those that are so-called terrorists. Syrians are now concerned about stopping the killing and about moving on to democracy, justice, and so on. So Khatib is trying to, I do believe he's trying to give the point or give the viewpoint about the moderates in Syria.
Give us some a roundup of the latest on the security situation in Damascus.
Yeah, the latest developments actually are about those mortar shells and rockets falling on the security buildings in Damascus. So this is a new escalation. FSA did not target those areas before, and those areas are widely considered as a secure places. We are talking about northwest of Damascus. We are talking about Malki neighborhood, Muhajirin, where the Tishrin Palace is. We are talking about also Kafr Susa, and there's a big security complex over there. So FSA targeted this area with mortar shells. Yeah, the mortar shells seems to be hitting the military intelligence building. So this new escalation, and there's also some statements announced yesterday by the Liwa al-Islam, saying that this brigade will be targeting more and more security buildings inside Damascus. So this new escalation seems to be shedding the lies about what is happening in the city. So now we have the mortar shelling, and also we have witnessed two bombings in the recent week. So in terms of people, I can tell you that some people here in Damascus are fearing what is coming, because now you don't know if you will be killed in car bomb or in a mortar shell. But
Does it
anyway,
feel, does it feel as if the fighting is getting closer to the center?
yeah, the fighting still is getting closer to the center, and especially after the FSA was able to cross the southern bypass. So the FSA for months hold of the front line, just like beyond the southern bypass. But for the past 2 weeks, FSA was able to enter Jobar. So Jobar is one of the eastern neighborhoods in Damascus, and it's very close to Abbasiyin roundabout. So getting to this place and also shelling the northwest of Damascus indicates that the FSA is tightening its grip around the capital.
But
But at the same time,
the government is still holds the Abbasin roundabout. It's
yeah, that's right. It still holds the Abbasiyin roundabout and Umayyad roundabout and the downtown of Damascus, where most of the ministries and government buildings. And we can see that Damascus at least now has 4 million. Many refugees from the suburbs are living now in Damascus. So we have a huge, we have a big population living in a city that it's now under attack. And seems the regime is willing to fight to the last man. So we have now this dilemma that the regime will not go away unless the FSA take Damascus. But taking Damascus would mean many lives will be lost and the city will be destroyed. So this is why we are talking about stalemate. I don't think that the FSA will not enter the city. FSA will enter the city, but the cost will be very big.
What sort of things are you seeing and hearing in your neighborhood?
Yeah, actually, the latest talks here in Damascus was were particularly about the economy, because I can tell you something about those
No,
factories,
Matt, no,
industries.
I, what, I mean, what in terms of the clashes are you seeing in your neighborhood?
Yeah, in terms of clashes, yeah, actually, every night there's clashes. We hear gunfires. We hear machine guns, heavy machine guns, and shelling, continuous bombardment. To the place of Daraya, to the south of Mazza. So every night we hear that. For example, the last blast happened in Qabun, to the east of Damascus. We heard the explosion. It was very loud, and we felt the shock wave in the west, in Mazza, which meant that the explosion was really big in terms of the number, the amount of explosions and that has been used.
I interrupted you. You wanted to talk about the economy.
Yeah, I wanted just
Carry on.
to one point to one thing about the economy. Most of the factories, industries, warehouses, storehouses are located in the suburbs of Damascus, to the south and to the east. So in the past months, there was a problem for many business owners here that they were not able to reach their factories, or they were not able to know the whereabouts of their goods over there. But what has happened the last month that we've constantly heard about those about factories being burned, destroyed, or looted. So, for example, I've just met one businessman here in Damascus who had his factory in Daraa, sorry, in Daraya, and his factory was destroyed. His warehouse was looted, and he was seeing his goods sold in the black market inside Damascus, and he couldn't do anything. So clearly, this man, a middle business, for example, he owns a middle business, but he has lost his fortune, almost $2 million. And same can be said about, for example, the largest printing press here in Damascus called Tarabishi. It was totally burned down. The Nesla factory in Khan el-Sheikh yesterday and the day before, it was burning. So This will have an effect on the terms of the future. The economy of the city and the economy of Syria is being destroyed, and we will see this effect in the future when people will not be able to have their daily needs because there's a shortage of money and shortage of supplies.
How long do you think the Assad regime can hang on?
Yeah, actually, there's here in Damascus many think that it will last for long. Yeah, we were speculating 6 months ago that it will be ending just after 6 months, but it doesn't seem like that because Assad is willing to fight to the last man, and on the opposite side, FSA and even the Syrians want an end to the torture, killing, and the daily bombardment. So it seems to be. And in terms of international support, there's no actual actions or moves to solve the problem. So many here in Damascus think that it will last for long, and they are trying to prepare a long-term solutions for themselves, either by leaving the country or heading to more secure places in the coastal areas or around the Lebanon border.
Are we talking months, years?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, the most number that I've heard here in Damascus is a year. But after all, we cannot say, but it seems to be long.
Okay, Madge, take care. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.